T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Apparently there's no windows in the traffic studio.
Good morning, sunshine. It's like gray and rainy out there today. Maybe that's her sunshine. Some people like days.
Well,
like
for
this.
Traffic people, it is, because it means more accidents.
Yeah, that's true.
It's time
to be busy today.
Chat with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can, of course, hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. Ben joins us every week, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty.
And Ben, it's back to baseball, and the Astros are finally getting theirs, aren't they? I mean, you see the boos, you see the trash cans, and I think every single bit of the booing and the hissing and the yelling at the Astros, man, is well-deserved.
Yeah, well, Dusty Baker, who wasn't even part of the Astros in 2017, he's making these decrees to the media. It's not fair. He's comparing it to tests, math tests that people cheated on in school. It's just outrageous. Listen, the Astros paid no price. People have been waiting 16 months to properly boo the Astros, and they are going to be bruised and battered verbally by fans all over the place. That's the way it should be. I love seeing what happened in Oakland. I thought that the fans in Anaheim, I know you were at one of those games, Bob, they did a better job, I thought, than even the A's fans. And so everyone in baseball, everywhere the Astros go, they deserve to be booed across the board. And for the rest of the careers of Jose Altuve, Bregman, all those guys, they got to own it. They were the ones pouring fire on the fuel when this story came out. They were thumbing their nose at everybody like it wasn't that big a deal. So I hope you enjoy the booze.
Dusty, I felt like hope that the pandemic quelled that. I mean, how long are we going to see this? Is it a half season? Do we let him go a full season, or is this an entire career for some of these guys?
No, I think it's going to go all the way. I don't, you know, Dusty's going to have to settle in, you know. Change those toothpicks out, get something stronger, and because this is the way. And yeah, obviously it'll die down in certain cities, but for Southern California, I know my guys that are Dodger fans, that I don't think they're ever going to forget. There were people that spent tons of money to go to that 2017 World Series. My producer Roberto, he's still paying off the ticket he spent to watch the Astros in the World Series, and they were cheating. And they got away with it, and it sucks, and it's terrible. And the fact that so many people with that organization are apparently oblivious, they think, let's let it go. No, that was one of the great cheating scandals of our time. And baseball just doing nothing that whole time through all the trials and tribulations of the Astros. It's embarrassing. And I love that Rob Manfred has been called out now by a bunch of people, including Faye Vincent, the former commissioner, who wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal and took some shots at Rob Manfred. Commissioner on commissioner crime.
You got to love it. Ben Maller with us here on 610 Sports Radio. And I guess, you know, Aaron Rodgers is trying to set himself up for life after football, which, you know, any good athlete should be trying to set themselves up for life after whatever sport it is that they're playing. And he's out there doing Jeopardy. It seemed to be a home run for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he's the next guy.
Yeah, he wants the job. It's a great job, right? Hosting a game show is one of the great jobs in America. If you can get a game show, they're amazing. I had a chance to meet Pat Sajak several years back, and he lives on the East Coast. He flies out to LA a couple times a year, and they film the Wheel of Fortune, right? But he lives, I think he's in Virginia or somewhere like that. But Aaron Rodgers pointed this out. If you are the Jeopardy host, you actually only work 46 days the entire year. They tape all the episodes for Jeopardy in 46 days. they work like 2 days in a week, and then they have like 2 weeks off, and then they tape like a bunch of episodes each day. But it's an easy job. Everything's written for you. You just have to look good at the camera, and you smile at the camera and all that. So who wouldn't want that job? That's a wonderful thing. I'd like a job like that. Wouldn't you? You'd take a job like that.
Wouldn't it help if he had a personality and could – I thought he was, like, super stiff and robotic. Maybe it was just the first time out, but, yeah, he's kind of prickly to me too, so I don't know if he's got the personality for it for me.
No, of course not, but, you know, the rules are different, Josh. You know, when you're a celebrity, when you're a famous athlete, it doesn't matter. Look at the guys on television. There's some of them that are good, but most of them are terrible. But, you know, they played professional sports, so the rules are different. And that's – the advantage. You look at the competitors for Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy, and I have no life, so I broke this down. They're TV doctors like Dr. Oz, right, or Sanjay Gupta of CNN. You also have news anchors. You have Ken Jennings, the former Jeopardy guy. Like, the only athletic person is Aaron Rodgers. So if you want to keep politics out of – every political person's a partisan person, right? So if you want to keep politics out of it – I know Aaron has made some political comments, but he is the least political out of the people, other than Ken Jennings, that are nominees for Jeopardy. Boy, that's a deep dive on Jeopardy, isn't it?
It really is, but I think it lends us to our next question. Who is Sam Darnold then? I mean, who is Sam Darnold for 200, right? Is he going to be a starter in the NFL and be good? Is he going to fail in Carolina now? What's your take on that move?
Yeah, I don't really get it. I think that Sam Darnold showed his colors with the Jets. Everyone likes to defend the athlete, blame it all on the coaching staff. I'm pretty sure that Crazy Eyes, Adam Gase, the coach of the Jets, did not tell Sam Darnold to throw into triple coverage on a regular basis and not be able to make adjustments at the line of scrimmage. Those are things you either know or you don't know. I know people get better and they improve, and we've seen career turnarounds. Heck, the Chiefs with Alex Smith, he wasn't very good with the 49ers and he became a good quarterback, but that's rare. I wouldn't bet on Sam Darnold, but Carolina's betting $23 million. They picked up the fifth-year option. They already announced they're going to do that. It's odd. Somebody in the Carolina Panthers organization thinks Sam Darnold's great, and it's just environment, and he's going to be great. I'll believe it when it happens, because I haven't seen any evidence that Sam Darnold is going to be that great. I didn't think he was that going to be good coming out of USC, so I haven't really been surprised by what I've seen in the NFL.
We've chatted a lot of quarterbacks with you. It's Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can hear overnights here on 610 Sports Radio. We've been doing the quarterback carousel with you every week. I can't wait for the draft here in a few weeks when we see 30 picks ahead of the Chiefs all be quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the Chiefs have a really good non-quarterback pick by the time they get to it.
Yeah, the great thing about the draft over the years, it's really like the last 10 years, quarterbacks have always been important, but now you like build up, even guys that would normally be second round picks get built all the way up into top 10 picks in the draft. It's fascinating. You got to get a quarterback. They have all these wild explanations and you know, to make their case, you know, the motives of NFL teams. But like, how far down are you going to have to get before the first offensive lineman is drafted or the first linebacker? I mean, there's some teams drafting. If we have quarterback, there's a chance the top four picks are quarterbacks, because the Falcons additionally could trade the fourth pick, and maybe somebody wants, you know, if Matt Jones is still there, they might trade up for Mac Jones. So you're going to have like the fifth team that's going to have the first pick of the non-quarterback draft. It's bananas. It's nuts.
It's going to be crazy, but, you know, that's why we love it, and it always takes away attention from, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs right now not needing a quarterback, but still doubt leaking in from some people nationally about the Chiefs. I thought I was, you know, losing my mind when I see people are starting to doubt what the Chiefs are doing and whatnot. Do you sense that from a national level, or are the Chiefs still the team in the AFC right now?
Well, I think they're still the team in the AFC. But, yeah, I mean, when you lose the Super Bowl and you know, you play the way the Chiefs did in that game, they were terrible on offense. They just had a bad day. Yeah, people are going to call you out. You know what it's like? Whatever you've just seen, you think is going to happen. It's the gambler's fallacy in play here. It's like, well, the Chiefs didn't play well in the Super Bowl, so that means Patrick Mahomes is going to regress, and Andy Reid's forgotten how to coach and all that. And you know, after like week two of next NFL season, people will be back on the Chiefs bandwagon and be like, oh, this team's great. It's a dynasty and that whole thing.
No doubt. Ben, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the chicken fingers this weekend at the Landing in Liberty, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Love those Ben Maller chicken figures. Thanks, guys.
It's Ben Maller with us here on 610 Sports Radio.
It's very okay to not deal in absolutes, especially when it's April and it's the NFL. And your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
It is time to dash for the cash. Your code word this hour of the National Cash Contest is snow. Not very nice. Snow. S-N-O-W. Snow to 72881. That's 72881. You could be the $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. Your next chance to win at 8:30. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates apply. Powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better better. Download the BetQL app today. Snow to 72881. For your chance to win $1,000.
I feel like the code word people have gotten lazy this time around. That's like the second or third time.
A lot of repeat words.
Yeah. Like, didn't we have like car three times in one day? Yeah.
Not in one day, but it's been a frequent word.
Yeah. Let's say they ran out of words. Our guy Swafford's leading the Masters, by
the way. Is he the first guy that teed off?
Oh, the Swafford
Terriers. Yeah.
One under for two.
Miles Swafford or Grayson Swafford or Davis
Thompson,
Swafford.
Lyle Jones, and Fratelli.
It's got to be Davis Swafford, right?
Say Lyle Jones?
Hudson Swafford.
Hudson.
You could have got that one.
I was close.
You could have got that one.
I was so close.
You ever seen that movie Hudson Hawk with Bruce Willis? It was great.
It was good. I did like Hudson Hawk.
Wasn't there a baseball player named Hudson Hawk?
No?
Probably, I would imagine. Hudson Swafford. How do you do, sir?
Are you thinking about the Hawk Andre Dawson?
Maybe.
He's still in the Ivy at Wrigley.
Yes, he is. Hudson Swafford.
Saw that coming.
Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Hudson, that's the one I missed.
Born in Tallahassee, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
College golfer at Georgia.
Mm-hmm. We'd have also taken Tanner.
Tanner would have been a good one.
Lives in Sea Island, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for Hudson.
It's always his dream to play at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
I do declare the pimento cheese is
Hudson
just delicious.
Swafford is all to a
Hudson path. Swafford representing Augusta. Thank you, Hudson.
You know our guy, Brad Keller's from Georgia. We
correct, correct.
Can't just continually rip on Georgians.
No,
be like, hey, Brad, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Well, how's it been?
I think Flowery Branch is much different than. Where's this guy from? He was like, he lives in Sea.
Well, Flowery Branch is like right outside of Atlanta, right?
This guy lives in Sea.
And his name's also Brad. It's not Hudson Swafford.
Yeah, Hudson Swafford from Lakeland, Florida.
If it was like Bradford, then maybe.
Yeah, right.
Maybe we'd go after him a little
he
bit.
He lives in Sea Island.
And went by Bradford.
Bradford, Kevin.
There's an island in the middle of Georgia?
There's all kinds of
weird islands in Georgia. Yeah, off the coast, like Tybee Island we went to a couple of years ago right outside of Savannah.
Oh.
What was that island in Georgia where the cheese player was from? They had to take a boat to school?
To boat to school to get to the mainland, yeah.
Was it
Alan Bailey?
Alan Bailey, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, he had to take like the midnight train, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right, to Georgia to get to school. Yeah, there's crazy. Like they live on these islands in Georgia, and they got to take boats to the mainland like every day just to like grocery shop or whatever.
Yes, there's a bunch of islands.
Yeah.
I don't think, what did I say? It was
Hudson Swafford.
He doesn't live on one of those islands. He lives on a exclusive golf course island.
Sea Island.
Mm-hmm. How do you do, Hudson?
Five-star resort in Georgia. Luxury four-five-star resort.
Of course it is. So we'll keep you updated on the leaderboard at Augusta.
This looks lovely.
So we played a little bit of Peter Schrager of NFL Network yesterday because it was frankly shocking that Peter Schrager, of all people, was a little bit unsure as to the Chiefs and if they'd done enough along the offensive line.
The Super Bowl left such a bad taste in my mouth. I mean, because it was like the offensive line was so bad. And I think we all convinced ourselves that they'll figure it out. Uh-huh. So I'm like, did they figure it out in the offseason? Now, look, Tooney is a great signing. It was big money. They got him when other teams wanted him. I don't know what Kyle Long is bringing, and everyone expects Kyle Long to be all pro Kyle Long. Taking a year off of football is an interesting dynamic. I think Kyle Long is an excellent athlete, is an excellent player, and everything from his tweets seems like he's completely dedicated to coming back. But I'm curious to see if you just plug Kyle Long in or if it's going to be a slower build. We'll see. And then I look at Trent Williams. Like, they went after Trent Williams hard.
Yes.
But they didn't get Trent Williams. And I think if you're even in that game where you're like, we're going to pay hundreds of millions of dollars for a tackle, it tells me something how you feel about your tackle position. Yeah. So Mahomes took an Easter photo with his lovely fiance, Brittany, and he's wearing a giant cast. Like, it's a huge reminder.
Boot.
This might not be the same Chiefs that we're used to out of the gate. So, to me, I'm going to, like Kay, like you said, you're curious. I'm curious. Mm. I love the Chiefs. I love what they do. Yes, they can make the Super Bowl, and they most likely will be back in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
But if Mahomes is running around like he was in that Super Bowl, I don't know if he's lasting many weeks in the NFL this season.
Get up, Peter.
So that was Peter Schrager yesterday on NFL Network.
Right. And I think, you know, Peter Schrager talking about that stuff with Patrick Mahomes and offering the money to the tackle and all that kind of stuff, they don't really have any tackles on their roster. So, yeah, that tells you how they feel about nobody.
Well, and I was in the camp of they were in the mix for the highest paid ever tackle.
Right.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
That's a good
sure.
thing. That's a good thing that they were able to go for that, and that your team was willing to go for that to protect their quarterback. Seems like a smart idea.
Yeah, and you know, as we talked about the last 2 weeks or whatever, Josh, it's they weren't willing to give the third year of guaranteed money that San Francisco is willing to give and guarantee a man at 35 years old millions of dollars to play a tackle position in the NFL. It sounds like a smart business decision if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. I will guarantee you 2 years, but that third year, you're going to be pushing 35 years old. While for a quarterback, that may not seem old. For a tackle, yeah, that is old, especially when you're going against 22 and 23 year old defensive ends that, you know, 10, 12 years your junior are a lot faster and more athletic than you're going to be at 35. So to me, it sounded like a really good decision from a business standpoint that the Kansas City Chiefs made not to get involved with that extra year of guaranteed money for a guy that's going to be 35 years old. But I mean, we lose our minds in the off season, especially in the NFL, about what teams do and what teams haven't done. It's not just Peter Schrager talking about this kind of stuff. I still think that we want to react and be immediate to what's going on right now and never take a step back and look at the big picture. And right now, we still are 3 weeks away or whatever it is from the draft where you're going to be able to go out there and get more players to help your team out. Your team isn't completed and finished in 1 week in March that they call free agency. Your team probably is never finished evolving, and it's always constantly evolving and trying to get better regardless of what time of the year it is. But I don't think we can sit here and write the final chapter of the Chiefs offseason because free agency is done before the draft has come into play. The draft is going to be big for the Kansas City Chiefs. Rookie free agency is going to be big for the Kansas City Chiefs. There's still an opportunity to add some really good players to this. And I saw an article the other day about teams in the offseason on ESPN that said these six teams can still win the offseason. And I'm thinking to myself, win what? What are we winning now?
Because they've already lost it?
I mean, is there a trophy? Is there a medal? Are we getting pimento cheese sandwiches for everybody if you win the offseason in the NFL? Like, I don't understand what winning the offseason means and why it matters to win the offseason in the NFL, because we talk about it every year that winning the offseason generally means you suck during the time of the year that matters most, and that's when you play the games. And I know people love it, and it's content for Good Morning Football and all of that kind of stuff. But if you're sitting back and you're worried about the Kansas City Chiefs, the fact that they didn't get Trent Williams and they haven't added that tackle yet, then you aren't really where you need to be when it comes to evaluating this team, because a lot of their work and a lot of their additions and a lot of their really good players come through the draft right now in Kansas City, and we haven't had that yet. We haven't had the draft yet in Kansas City or in the NFL for that matter. In fact, I just saw on NFL Network they're setting up a stage in Cleveland where they're going to house this thing in a couple of weeks. So there's still time to go out there and get that tackle. That is clearly still necessary, but obviously the Chiefs have a game plan in mind of what they're going to do.
And as I said with Ben on draft night, when they go 30 quarterbacks ahead of the Chiefs, we're going to be in a good spot.
That's exactly right. Yeah, when you see a guy like David Mills getting drafted or Davis Mills getting drafted, that all of a sudden is coming out of nowhere, it tells you there's going to be a run on the quarterbacks in that first round. And the Chiefs, maybe they trade up, maybe they don't, maybe they trade back. They're going to get that offensive tackle that they need, and they're going to be fine when the season starts
at that tackle position because I think they're going to draft that guy.
Or Kyle Pitts at four.
Like, I would trade up and get Kyle Pitts at four.
I was really banging the drum for the major trade yesterday.
I'm kind of with you. I saw that yesterday that like Atlanta may want to move out of that four spot. My immediate reaction was, could the Chiefs trade up and get Kyle Pitts? And you guys were talking about it yesterday. I'm like, all right, good. We're all on the same page here. What is it going to take to go get Kyle Pitts?
I just really... I think he's really good and freaky, but I just love the scare the crap out of the rest of the NFL by doing it.
Yeah.
Like, just freak everybody out.
Right.
Like, God, the Chiefs are doing this again.
Yeah. Oh, it'll make them go nuts. Yeah. It'll make the league go crazy now.
So I'm all for that. 913-576-7610. If you know the play of the game that Vern gave you on the post-game show for a chance to win Topper's Pizza, we're looking for caller number...
Let's go with caller number four.
Caller number four to 913-576-7610. Chance to win there. And also, One Royal is maximizing his opportunity. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Vern gave it to you yesterday, as he does for every Royals game. It's the play of the game. If you know a player involved in that game, you have an opportunity to win $25 to Topper's Pizza with locations in both Mission and Lawrence. And each winner will be registered to win a $250 Mazarese gift card at the end of the month.
Don and Casey, today's contestant. Don, can you tell us a player involved in yesterday's play of the game?
Was it Nicky Lopez?
Nicky Lopez, let's find out.
The 6'3 righty facing Nicky Lopez. First and second. One out. The first pitch to Lopez is lined to right field, a base hit. And here comes Isbell around third, and he will score. And the Royals tie it on a Nicky Lopez RBI base hit. It's 2-2.
There you go. Don is correct. Nicky Lopez, part of the play of the game yesterday. And Don wins himself $25 at Topper's Pizza. And a chance at that grand prize as well. Pretty easy. See, very, very simple. Listen to Vern. After the game, like today, give you a play of the game. Tomorrow, 7:45, your chance to win.
There you go. Don, way to go, my man.
Nicky Lopez is making the most of an opportunity.
We
right?
said a week ago at this time, Josh, the thing that can happen here with the Lopez situation is that he takes advantage of an opportunity. And boy, has he taken advantage of this opportunity,
we
hasn't
all
he?
Kind of written him off, right?
Yeah.
We're down on him. Sent down to AAA.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't had a good spring. We got Bobby Witt mania.
Mm-hmm.
The whole nine. Quickly, he's back. You know, before it even started. Before it even started. Yeah. Like, okay, now he's got an opportunity. Go prove it. And he's proved it. He's hitting every game.
Yep. Sitting over 400.
The other day, he was on three times. Yesterday, comes up with an RBI, tie mm-hmm. the game.
And a big at bat too. I mean, that's a that's a big moment in the seventh. All the momentum kind of got zapped away from what looked like a pretty good start. He ties the game. Playing great defense, had a diving stop the other day. I mean, that's doing what you need to do to maybe force some tough decisions later if you keep up that pace.
Well, I think that's what you've already started to do. Is it weird yesterday in that situation where he got the big hit to tie that game back up at two? I was like, okay, I feel good about Nicky Lopez coming to the plate. Like, I felt like that's kind of the guy you want up there right now. He's the hot hand, you know, for the Royals, other than, you know, Whit Merrifield and whatnot. Nicky Lopez is doing everything that you could potentially want out of a guy and has done an amazing job of taking advantage of that opportunity. And you got to give Nicky Lopez a lot of credit for taking advantage of that opportunity. And now, you know, Josh, with this oblique injury, as we joke about in baseball all the time, they're kind of like season enders. I mean, they just are. It seems like a guy gets an oblique injury and you don't hear from him for months at a time. They said it was going to be 2 or 3 weeks before we saw Mondy kind of get back to games, okay? And it was going to be, a quick, if you will, turnaround from an oblique injury, which, again, normally takes months to years in Major League Baseball. NFL, you're back out there that week. But in baseball, it's just a very different injury right now. And so now with Nicky Lopez playing the way that he is, you don't really need to speed up the return for Alberto Mondesi. You can go out there and basically slow play this thing to make sure that he is 100% healthy, because Nicky Lopez is doing everything and more than you could possibly have wanted out of him at that shortstop position right now. And with the oblique injury, I'm all for slow playing this thing so it is 100%. And we don't get to a point where he's on the DL, he's off the DL, he's on the DL, and he's off the DL. And at the end of the season, they go, well, just the oblique just never healed properly at the beginning of the season. And now you have the opportunity to allow that oblique to heal properly and not have to rush Mondy back to the big league level. And now you've got options once Mondy does come back. You can move Witt to designated hitter. With Jorge Soler only having 2 hits this year, you could potentially do a situation like that and put Lopez at second base. Or if you decided you wanted to send Kyle Isbell back down, put Witt back in the outfield and keep Nicky Lopez at second base. I know that's not something that the Royals generally do. They want, once you're up here, you're up here. And Isbell hasn't really done anything to deserve to be sent down, you know, to the minor leagues in the first week of the season. But the way that Nicky Lopez is playing right now is going to make the decision on what to do when Mondy comes back and when Mondy is healthy very difficult on this organization. And if he's hitting anywhere near to the 438 that he's hitting right now and playing the defense that he is, how do you take him out of the lineup right now? Even if it is for Mondy, and I know Ryan has probably been on this bandwagon, Mondy hasn't exactly earned the right to be the starting shortstop just because he's healthy right now if Nicky Lopez continues to play at this pace and continues to do what he's doing right now.
I mean, I think the thing to me that's probably more telling than anything is that Alberto Mondesi has had a lot of setbacks in his career, and he's never been the guy that, like, has been able to put it together consistently. Like, sure, we have seen him have flashes where he'll go on, you know, a 6-game tear or a 10-game tear. It's never, like, for a full month. Now, the end of last year in September, that's why I think there was more optimism, because it was like, hey, this was actually the longest string of time we've seen him kind of put him together, right? Sure. And so there was some optimism coming into this year. But then when you had Bobby Witt Jr. playing out of his mind, Kyle Isbell earning a spot on the roster, and Nicky Lopez quite honestly losing a spot on the roster, just watching how he's been able to bounce back from it, like, you're right. To me, he's got more mental toughness than Alberto Mondesi has ever displayed in his career.
Yeah.
Just in this small window, like getting a gut punch to, hey, I'm pretty much guaranteed a roster spot. And Dayton Moore saying, you know, earlier, like a month ago, oh, yeah, pretty much everything's locked up. I mean, we may as well go ahead and set this thing in stone. And then guess what? Nicky Lopez is on his way to the alternate site. Like, to be able to bounce back from something like that and to be able to put a performance together and really just kind of clear out all the crap and get back to what he was doing that just made him, you know, a good, successful player that was climbing the ranks. Like, to be able to get back to that in such a quick time, I think it shows a lot.
I think it shows a lot, too. And you could also maybe make a move on the pitching staff as well. I mean, Greg Holland's 18 ERA. He hasn't exactly been outstanding, you know, so far this season. For the Royals, maybe that's a move that you make. Maybe you get to the point where you go, maybe we got to make a move in the bullpen to get Mondy back on this opening day roster. Or not opening day roster, but
26-man roster. I think there's a lot of options out there for the Royals right now, and to me, one of those options right now is not sending Nicky Lopez back to the minor leagues.
Yeah, he may have found a way if he continues doing this. Again, you force the hand, which is what you're supposed to do, right? Performed. And secondly, the Royals love options.
Yep.
They've always loved options. This gives them more options to be able to move people around the diamond if need be. Lopez has had a great approach, though, to this.
One of those things that it was kind of a blessing that it happened. You know, I talked to you guys earlier about how I kind of just changed my mindset of, you know, you have to get past it, not feel sorry for myself, work on the things that are evident that I need to work on and kind of get back to the basics of what made me successful. And I'm just happy that I'm up here and being able to compete and, you know, just get on base and you know, make some plays. So, but I'm very happy to be up here and, you know, just kind of making those small adjustments that were needed, and kind of tweaking the mindset a little bit.
That was Lopez a couple days ago, but, he's kept it going.
Yep.
And yeah, you could do just about anything. You have him stay and you have an extra infielder. Mm-hmm. You move him back to second and you slide Witt back to the outfield.
Yeah.
You have Soler back to the DH and, Kyle Isbell gets, you know, he's got options, right?
Sure.
I mean, this is his first go of it. And
right.
And again, it might not be anything involving him. He's only, you know, he's only hitting 294.
Right. He's close to 300,
he's
right?
Doing just fine for a week and what have you. But yeah, it gives them the ability to do some different things if he keeps performing.
Right. If he keeps doing this.
But I like the fact that he might force them into a decision. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right. And which is fine. And maybe you make a trade. Maybe you flip somebody to make your bullpen better. Maybe you flip somebody to make your starting rotation better. Whatever it is that you feel like you need, you know, through the first two or three weeks of the season. But I mean, I look at this right now, I'm going, man, if you're Alberto Mondesi, like, this is worst case scenario, right? You finally feel like you're going to be healthy going into the season. The last spring training game, you hurt your oblique. You're going to be out for the first two or three weeks of the season, and the guy that's replacing you is hitting .438 and making plays defensively. Like, to me right now, if he keeps this up at shortstop, if Nicky Lopez continues on this track, how do you look at Nicky Lopez and say, sorry, man, you're no longer our starting shortstop because we're bringing Mondy back, who's been, as you would say, Ryan, just a ball of inconsistency in his career for the Royals?
Yeah, I don't know if I would call
Nobody
it
has.
That, but
I
mean, you're right about that.
That's like, not exactly a molten lava of
just,
talent
just
or whatever.
Just a ball of inconsistency.
Well, it is. I mean, I was listening to the Stews the other day on the broadcast of the game, and they were talking about Mondy and Nicky Lopez, and Fizz brings up the situation. He goes, you know, the guy's only played 105 games. That's the most he's played all in his career in a season is 105 games. It means you're missing, you know, roughly 60 games out of a season. He has yet to prove to anybody that he can stay healthy and be that guy. And even if you do give him that opportunity, Nicky Lopez is going to need to be on standby because I'm sure at some point during the season, Mondy's probably going to get hurt again.
Just like with Bobby Witt Jr. during spring training, I'll say the same thing. It's not going to surprise me when baseball does the thing
baseball always does.
And brings back the guy that they have all this hope and promise for.
Right.
Albeit Nicky Lopez was, you know, or is performing admirably in his absence and likely will continue to do so. I think that it'll fall back on, well, you know, I mean, Nicky had a long time in spring to show us something.
Right.
He didn't be able to do it. So, you know, we're going to go ahead and send him back to the alternate.
But spring training numbers don't matter.
Well, they do, Bob. Yeah. I mean, they do in terms of wins.
Yeah.
Let's play a little 1-10. We still have a name this. We still have a name this.
I thought 1-10 is what we were going to call
that's
it.
Cool. That's good.
Do we have a better name? Sorry, I saw earlier in the break there's a new DQ chicken and biscuits basket. Have you seen this?
I saw that with the little mini biscuits.
The little bite-sized biscuits?
Yeah, looks good.
Why do we make bite-sized things? I don't understand that.
Like, why don't we?
Did we really need bite-sized biscuits?
Yeah, I think we did. I like the idea.
Like, I get those little mini muffins for my kids, and I'm like, why don't we just buy full-size muffins?
It gives you an option, just like the Royals have now. Options, you've got multiple options.
The kids won't eat a whole muffin.
And they won't eat the whole muffin, yeah.
They don't eat a whole bag of those mini muffins either.
So you can split them between all of the kids.
I can split a muffin between all the kids.
You can do whatever you want, man.
It comes in a 4 and a 6 piece, by the way. I don't know if you get more of the biscuits in the 6 piece. It would stand to reason, though,
you
right?
Would probably, yeah.
If I say I want 6 pieces of chicken,
you
got to
have good biscuit to chicken ratio.
Biscuit.
Yeah.
All right, this is getting off the tracks quick. Let me Let me reel this one in. Scale of 1 to 10. Let me ask you this about Aaron Rodgers, who was on Jeopardy and did his guest hosting. Did you get a chance to watch?
I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw highlights of it. I know you were
out of the
it.
State. Do they have television out of the state?
They do. Out of state, that's you get good. TV. Yeah, different channels, but it's still English? There. Yeah, it oh, was. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
So as Bob was on his vacation watching his English language television, Aaron Rodgers had his performance on Jeopardy. Scale of 1 to 10, rate his performance. Give me a grade.
What are you looking for in his performance? Are you looking for...
What are you looking for? That's what I'm asking.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm just asking... I don't need anybody's famous hosting Jeopardy. I just need somebody who can read the question.
I think he was a 5 for me. He was... I mean...
That's generous.
Maybe. I mean, I thought he was just fine.
I'm going to give it really...
Just a little robotic and stiff.
I'm going to give a really, really, like, strange analogy that many won't get. But if you look it up, you're like, okay, I can see that.
So you're just going to do the regular thing you do?
Yeah. There was an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond that featured Chris Elliott. Remember Chris Elliott, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And exactly what I thought it was going to be.
And he had his hair kind of combed like Aaron Rodgers had.
He was in Schitt's Creek as well.
Yeah.
Really good.
And was wearing an oversized sport coat. Like, it didn't fit properly. That's what I looked at with Aaron Rodgers. Like, remember when Carla went to the opera in Cheers?
Yes.
And she dressed up and she was very uncomfortable dressing the way that she did with her hair slicked back and all that. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers kind of reminded me of like a combination of Carla going to the opera and Chris Elliott.
Maybe Ricky Vaughn going to that.
Ricky, a little bit.
That restaurant.
Yeah, but like at least Ricky Vaughn looked good. Like I just felt like Aaron Rodgers just kind of looked like he was out of place.
Looked good in a sleeve. Yeah, I just thought he was kind of awkward and stiff, and I don't know. You don't really need to be a personality per se in that job. I wouldn't, you know, at times Alex Trebek wasn't like a over the top personality.
Right.
He didn't try to make himself bigger than the show.
Correct.
But I feel like the next person might have to a little bit.
Maybe. You don't want to be the guy replacing the guy, you know? The best Jeopardies are when Sean Connery was on.
He and Burt Reynolds really stole the show.
For a first try, fine. Right. It was fine.
Yeah.
You guys are both going 5? Is that what I hear?
I go with a 5. Yeah.
5. I'm not giving him, you know.
See, Aaron Rodgers, lover of the group, I gave him like a 3.
Wow.
I feel like the buildup was too much for me.
Of course it was. The buildup's always bigger than the event.
Like, it's just, I thought you were going to be better than this. I don't think they give you more of those bite-sized biscuits with a 6-piece. I think it's the exact same amount of biscuits.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDF, HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station.
I mean, it seems counterintuitive. Like, I'm hungrier. I want more chicken. Give me more of the other stuff, too. Okay, whatever. Let's get back to some Royals real quick, because the Royals have... I don't know, at least by my estimation, like they've been impressive over the first 5 games, right? 3-2. It's hard to get a lot of determination about that.
Yesterday is one of those games that you talk about where you don't want your bullpen to be the reason why you lost a game. And yesterday the bullpen lost that game for this team.
Junis left with the lead.
I mean, you should technically be sitting at 4-1 right now, because the bullpen needs, like, those are the games that are going to bother me. Like, yesterday is going to be like, that's a gut punch right
there.
Why
am I drawing a blank on the guy that hit 2 homers?
Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez. There you go. Just don't pitch to him. How about that? He's like the only one you know from the Indians lineup, the only guy that was batting over like 200.
Yeah.
For the love of God, stop pitching.
Don't pitch to him, yeah.
I mean, usually I say no one's going to hit 3 home runs against me. That's been my thing. Like, I'm beaning you after you hit 2. Mm-hmm. Preventing you from 2 is tough. I couldn't just go and dot him because he'd only hit 1, although he kind of hit 2 already. Because he hit the first one off of the next pitch. Hit 1, so maybe you should have just dotted him there. But it felt like that was it feels like that's about the only guy that can burn you in that lineup, which makes it difficult.
So they're already 3 wins towards their 72.5 win projection. I ask you, gentlemen, 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Royals will exceed that 72.5
win? I'm on a 10. Yeah, I am 10. Too. I'm 10 in it. Yeah, they're going over that.
Yep.
Yeah. I've been all along, they're gonna be chasing 80. So
I guess maybe it would have been better, because I think we were all on the Royals going over that projection. I was just slightly over, maybe 75 wins. I think Bob had them at like 142.
161 and 160-2 now. I know. Yeah. Well, Matheny said 162-0. I mean,
You confident they're going to exceed where you thought they were going to be? Are they better than you thought they were going to be?
Oh, I think they're right kind of where I thought they would be. Like yesterday was like was a bad taste game. You know, got a rebound and get one today against the White Sox. But they're kind of where I thought they would be.
I mean, I feel like I almost want to say that they're better than I thought they would be. And that's crazy to me thinking that the two guys who you wanted to see good starts from didn't give you anything,
right.
Really.
But that's why you think they're going to be better because the middle of the lineup isn't hitting yet.
Right.
And two of your stud pitchers had bad outings.
Bad outings.
And you're like, well, 3-2, and I'm really excited about this. So you feel like there's you're playing the upside game.
Right. But you know what? You got to do better because not every game is against the Texas Rangers where you have an opportunity to just batter a bad bullpen.
I'm not sure if you've heard about this. There is a little golf tournament coming up this weekend.
There is?
The Masters.
I've not heard about that.
That's right.
Tiger's not playing, therefore I'm at a one.
Oh, well, that wasn't actually the question. We'll get there, though, here in a second. But last night... It was Tuesday, right? What day is this?
Today's Thursday.
Today's Thursday, man.
Well, either way, Tuesday they did the Masters Champions dinner.
Love these dinners.
It's a lovely dinner. Dustin Johnson got to pick the spread as the reigning champion of the Masters. His spread, I thought, started a little light. Came in with pigs in a blanket.
What the hell's wrong with that?
I didn't expect that at a Masters Champions dinner. They let you pick whatever you want,
yeah.
And the answer was, let me get hot dogs wrapped in croissants.
Oh, okay, and make sure you have a nice spicy mustard as a dipping sauce. Let's roll.
He also had lobster and corn fritters, which, in my opinion, made up for that. That was the appetizer course.
Was that like a past hors d'oeuvre, or was that
I don't know.
You got like one?
I would assume that it was like a plate at like a mingle type thing, where you know you had like a cocktail hour.
Right, where the person with, you know, that the tray is walking around.
I don't know if you're allowed to circulate the food. You have to leave it in one location.
Oh, because of COVID?
Yeah, you have like a sneeze guard over it.
I got you. I didn't know if it was like you sat down and they gave you one pig in a blanket and one lobster corn fritter.
Oh, I mean, they said pigs in a blanket.
Yeah, I know. You're talking plural here. Oh. I better get more than one.
Pigs in blankets. It's really not like you don't put two pigs in one blanket.
Yeah.
Nobody does that. You don't double up the wieners. That's gross.
No.
Salads, you just had a typical garden salad or a Caesar salad. Your choice. I mean, it's pretty standard. The entree, though, this is where the heavy hitters came out. Prime filet mignon or miso marinated sea bass.
See, I don't like the word or in there. I
like the or.
Fish
like
or beef. You got like to take your pick.
They give you
it's
a little.
Pretty standard.
You both said you got a garden salad or a Caesar. You had every world covered, I think.
Really did. Mashed potatoes.
Why can't I have the surf and turf?
We are diving way too deep into this.
Oh, you wanted the
mashed potatoes and spring vegetables accompanied those. And then, by the way, for dessert, he finished it off with a delightful peach cobbler and apple pie.
See, you get the cobbler and pie. Why can't I have the fish and steak? I'd rather have the fish and steak than the pie and cobbler.
Right? Dustin Johnson's champion dinner, 1 through 10.
I give the guy a 10. I like it.
It's about an 8 for me. I mean, it did span the globe a little bit, but I like kind of upsetting things a little bit. I mean, that looks like a fancy meal you're going to get.
Yeah, that's a good meal.
I'd rather
upend
the card.
And I'm not footing the bill for that. Let's go.
I better upend the card a little bit and have something just weird.
You want like nothing but finger foods?
Yeah.
What would you have? What's the one thing you would put on that to upset the, like, if you had the Masters?
I mean, I'm something like real lowbrow.
Like what? Like generic cereal?
Like beanie weenies?
Like pigs in the blanket are like the lowest end of things. I'd like to ruffle them a little bit. Like, you know, slices of pizza too, you know, whatever. Some roller dogs, whatever.
Got a 7-layer bean dip up here.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody, come have Rotel with me.
Yeah.
I don't think that's lowbrow, though.
You don't think Rotel is lowbrow?
No. It's melted cheese.
I mean, I love Rotel. I'm not knocking it by any means. I'm not sitting here elevating it to
crock
to
pot of hot dining. Cheese.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson brings in his own crock pot. It's
like a make your own nacho bar?
Made some dip.
You one of those Dean's French onion dips?
Goulash is as low as it gets. That's true.
No, I don't think goulash is low.
Just a hamburger helper spread.
Now that we're having a hamburger helper. Yeah. That
let me get some of that cheesy enchilada. What's your favorite helper, by the way?
It's all good by itself. Doesn't need any help. Like a can of SpaghettiOs. That would be like lowbrow.
This one question took us so long. We'll wrap it up with this one. As the Masters gets underway, Bob pointed out Tiger Woods not going to be in attendance. I don't know if you've heard. He had an automobile accident. I don't know. It shouldn't be called an accident. He was doing like 85.
Yeah.
Scale of 1 to 10, what's your interest level in the Masters this year?
A hot one.
A hot one? Hot one.
A hot one. I like that. I like that show, Hot Ones. There's always an obligation to like the Masters, and there's always an obligation to tune in at some point on Sunday.
It's a tradition unlike any other.
It really is.
How would you know spring is here?
You don't.
It's not a tradition like any other.
The grass is greener, vibrant green.
It's golf. It happens every week.
Yeah. Had some tulips pop up in the yard.
So, yeah, I'm like a two. I'm like a two.
Wow, double where I am.
That's about it.
Ryan, what are you at?
Sunday? I'm at like a five or a six for a Sunday. I'll watch the Masters on Sunday, for sure.
How I'm like halfway there on a Sunday. It sounds so you know what I mean? You're like,
if Tiger's making a charge on there.
I did kind of pick it up an octave there for Sunday.
For a five, you
Thursday,
did.
Friday, Saturday, meh.
Sunday, when I got nothing else going on, maybe I'll watch it.
I don't know if our guy Hudson Swafford is still at the top of the leaderboard.
Hudson Swafford could be there on Sunday if he continues this pace.
He's minus two through five. He's at the top of the leaderboard right now.
Let's go Terriers.
Right. Love the Swafford Terriers.
Matt Jones in second.
Matt Jones!
And Stuart Sink also at minus one on the leaderboard right now at the Masters. That is a little 1 to 10.
Without his invention, where would you wash the dishes?
I was working on one too, but I didn't know how to get there.
It's a C. It's a totally different thing.
C!
C for sink.
Is the C silent? C-S-I-N-K, Stuart Sink.
Yes. Silent C, it's actually an S. But Jude kind of noted that Tiger's not there, but still the story is Tiger.
Oh, my God.
Tiger's not there because everybody was asking
the
about
story
it.
Is Tiger's not there.
You know what I mean?
Tiger's not there. The story still is Tiger.
Right. And he really wanted to be here and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, players saying they checked in on him, who had checked in on him. And he was really upset that he wasn't there. And obviously, there wasn't any car accident news for a little while. And then suddenly, like on the eve of the tournament.
On the eve of the Masters, he was going 84.
Oh, their speed was, in fact, a factor, said the sheriff.
No bleep, really? Huh. I hadn't thought about that. I think what CBS is failing to do in this and in ESPN, whoever has the early rounds of the Masters, with everybody doing TV from their home right now, why wouldn't you just have Tiger Woods set up with the ability to zoom into the broadcast and be like a guest commentator on this? Because he is clearly still the engine that drives golf. And
I love Tigers.
I know people in the golf world don't want to hear it and don't seemingly want to understand that the only reason that golf has become so big when it comes to the purses and all of this kind of stuff that are given out is because of Tiger Woods. And he's done more for the sport of golf than anybody has done for any other sport. And that can't really be argued. I mean, the guy has been a godsend for that sport. And when he's not there, you're still going to have your golf fans. You're still going to have people that are golfers watch it. But when you want to bring in everybody else and make this truly a sport that, you know, touches everybody, you got to have Tiger Woods a part of this deal. And if Tiger's not a part of it, it just doesn't hold the same type of weight as if Tiger Woods is part of it. So if I was CBS, I would have found a way to say, yeah, I understand you got a broken leg, man. Go sit out on your porch or a boat or wherever it is. And let's check in with Tiger on Amen's Corner or something. And he's commenting on that. And you can bring Tiger Woods to the fans because I think golf needs it. And if Tiger is going to be on there, like zooming from his living room and giving commentary, I'd probably tune in to watch something like that.
He's like in a full body cast.
Yeah. And maybe he's really bad off and we don't know that.
Yeah, we don't know that either.
But it sure sounds like he's been involved and people are having conversations and talking and whatnot with him. Maybe it would, or even just get him on the phone or something like that. Like, he needs to be part of that broadcast.
Obviously, he's not the greatest personality for that either.
No, he's not, but he's not, still golf.
You're not looking to make him the Monday Night Football host.
Right.
The minute he walks off the course. Right. But, yeah.
The job's already given to Justin Timberlake, by the way.
Every job should be.
Every job should be.
Fesco isn't in on heaping of praise. He'll explain next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.